Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Well, I want to, again, welcome you here today. My name's Terry. It's a privilege of mine to serve as pastor of this church, one of several pastors, but I have to have lead in front of my title, so the buck stops with me. But I'm really glad you're here, and I've been looking at you today, and you're a good-looking group. Let me affirm you. Sorry you've got to look this way, but I get to look at you, and you're a much better-looking group than what you get to look at today, but we're really glad that you're here, and like I said, I appreciate your prayers for me, too. Today, we're going to be looking at our third installment of a series that we've been doing called Be Healthy. If you've been around here any length of time, you'll recognize that we do a lot of things in teaching series. Typically, we'll take several weeks on a particular topic. Well, Be Healthy is one that we are taking an entire year on. And we're spreading it out over the course of the year, about every 6 or 7 weeks. And by the time 2013 wraps up, we will have 7 different topics that we will have covered in this idea of Be Healthy. And on the front of your bulletin today, if you were able to receive one of these as you came in, you'll see the various topics that we'll be covering throughout the year. And the one that's just slightly bolded there is called Habits. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. But we've already taken time in the course of this study to look at what diet does, how that impacts not only our physical body, but our spiritual life as well. We've looked at exercise and the impact that that has as well, and even what Scripture had to say about exercise. But today, we're gonna shift it a little bit, and we're going to be looking at various habits that we form in our life that have impact on our health, both physically and spiritually. You've probably heard it said, and you could finish this phrase, that we are all creatures of habit. Everything that we do, most everything we do, is built on some form of habit. Even simple little things that you do and how you talk and how I talk. I was looking at a video of me talking one time, and I went, "Why do I shake my head all the time? It doesn't make sense." And yet I constantly do that, and I talk with my hands as if I'm Italian, and I'm not. I don't know how I got that, but I do. And so we have these various things that cause us to function because of habits. I mean, we brush our teeth out of habit, right? And some would say, Julie says out of necessity as she's looking to Steve. just kidding. Some would say you need to brush more than others. That's where I was going with that. We eat 3 meals a day, not because it's really the healthy way to eat, but because we've established that as a habit. You probably even in your morning routine, you get dressed, cleaned up, and all those things in a particular way because over the course of your life, you have formed a particular habit of how you see that that should happen. You probably even have a habit of how you like to go to bed and the various steps that you take in getting your mind ready to sleep. Our thinking process is largely built out of habits. You can create certain patterns in your thinking process to form ways that you think. So you can think about the people that you love the most. Like you'll create that habit of constantly thinking about the person that you love. The opposite is also true. Sometimes we allow our mind to establish a pattern of thinking of those that we hate or don't love. Maybe it would have been a softer way of saying that. Sometimes we create the habit of checking our email every 30 seconds because someone is about to send us something, or checking a website of the Michigan Wolverines to see if Trey Burke is declared for the NBA draft yet or something. We create habits in our lives over the things that we're most passionate about, quite honestly. So let's look at this word really quick, habit. It's got a noun and a verb definition. We're going to look specifically at this noun idea of what a habit is. A settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. Now, I like the end of that. One that is especially hard to give up. When we think about habits, we think about things that are well ingrained within our processes, in our day. Computer developers were really smart many, many years ago. They understood that we are creatures of habits and that actually helps us be much more productive. So they created computers to actually identify various habits of its user so that it could also function faster. You've ever heard of cookies in your computer? They're not edible. I tried. It doesn't work. But your computer, and some of you know a lot more about computers than I do, but as I understand it, cookies are little hidden files within your hard drive that when you visit various websites or you do various things, that they actually store that information. So the next time you're there, it pulls it up quicker. It's learning. It's kind of eerie to think about this, but your computer is learning your habits, learning where you go and what you do to be able to better function. Kind of look at your computer screen the next time, you know, a little bit differently. It's watching you. It really is. Now, for me, I often think of habits in terms of the negative, okay? I don't know if the first thing that pops into your mind is negative, but when I think of habit, sometimes the very first thing I think of is negative. But quite honestly, there are many more good habits in our lives than bad ones. And so I want to highlight and think about some of the good as well today. What are some, and this is kind of an audience participation moment, what are some, if you think about good habits that have been formed in your life, what are some things that come to your mind? Anybody want to share some healthy or good habits that you have been able to create or you know somebody's been able to create? Anybody? Exercise? Seat belts. That should have been in my notes somewhere. That's really good. Other ones? Bike helmets. Yep, that's a good one. Other habits you formed, it just becomes like natural reaction now. Sorry? Kissing the kids goodnight, making that routine of putting them to bed. Awesome, Brian.
Reading the Word.
Reading the Bible. Excellent. You get two Brians, right? Seeing your wife when you get home from work? Oh. Newlyweds. Sorry. See, I have this habit of sarcasm and it's not on this list. No, those are all excellent things. You know, and I was even thinking along those lines of date night would be a great habit, right? Some of us might struggle with that. I'm not identifying anybody. Some of you I know run and exercise. That kind of made my list. Reading, cleaning your room without being asked. That was for the teens in the house. We can be people who create excellent, excellent habits because God has wired us to be people who establish such things. Now, the flip side is that good habits are often the most difficult to stick with. How many of you have used the phrase, I've gotten out of the habit of, and it being a bad thing? Oh man, I've gotten out of the habit of smoking. Doggone it. Doesn't happen. We use that phrase for when there's a good habit that we've allowed to slide, right? And we use, I kind of can use that phrase frequently. Let me give you kind of an example. I believe worshiping with the body of Christ is a great habit to form and a very vital habit to form even when with our children. You know, when they get in the habit of coming to church and feeling safe and welcome here and they like it, it is a much more likely scenario that they will make that a part of their habitual worship as an adult. So I'm saying this to parents and everybody. It's a great habit to form, and yet at the same time, I recognize that it can also be challenging to form as well, because we're very busy people, and there's things in our world that kind of can get in the way. And so I want to just quickly listen to Paul's words. The Apostle Paul writes this in Hebrews 10. We're going to be all over the Bible today a little bit, okay? But Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, some in his day had gotten in the habit of not meeting together, and what it was doing is it was causing a real downshift in their morale as a body of believers. It was impacting their ability to remain strong in the Lord. And so we recognize that the habit, the good habit of coming together and being here is good. But it's also one of those things that you can find yourself saying, you know, I've kind of gotten out of the habit of being at church. And I recognize that, and I know that it's tough. I'm not judging, I'm saying it's just one of those examples I wanted to use. There are also some dangerous habits that we form as well. Now, I know that we really shouldn't kind of use this as confession time, so we'll do it this way. Anybody want to share a bad habit of a friend of theirs? Or maybe a bad habit of their spouse? Or maybe just one you read online? Something like that. Anybody got some bad habits that kind of come into your mind when you think of that? Too much pop, Kim. Thank you. Picking up junk fruit. Not off the road, but as you're driving down the road, you would stop at a convenience store and actually buy junk food. Yes. Guilty of that this week, as a matter of fact. I am getting nailed. From the seatbelt to the texting while driving to the junk food, you guys like are talking to me today. This is not, I'm supposed to talk to you. Another one? Smoking? I'm sorry? This is no joke. This is not in my notes. But Mary, I was with Steve one time. We were driving. And someone was driving slow in the left-hand lane, and the right-hand lane happened to be wide open. And Julie, we were all, it was the four of us, we were going to a wedding, right? We were going to Nan Carroll's wedding. And Steve, we kept thinking, Steve, just get over and pass on the right. He goes, I will not pass that. They need to get over. No joke, this all ties together, because when they finally did move over and Steve did this as we passed by, she was texting. No joke. And that, he got... No, you didn't go crazy. Little road rage issues. Just kidding. Yeah, that can be a bad habit. Being excessive with sports? Me? Oh, now I've given everyone a license to talk about all my bad habits. Staying up too late, that's an excellent one. Man, you guys are absolutely nailing me to a wall here. I was thinking about overspending. Anybody do that? Got that little moan in the house now. Overeating, being lazy, biting your nails, picking your nose. Those are the things that came to my mind as really bad habits. All right. So what does all this have to do with our spiritual life? Everyone, we came to church, not a comedy club. What are we talking about? Okay. When we develop a habit, this is an important statement. When we develop a habit that is hindering our spiritual journey, okay, when we're developing a habit that is blocking our ability to worship God freely, then what's going to happen is we're going to be failing to grow in our faith. We're going to fail to thrive. We're going to experience a lack of understanding of who Jesus is and His plan for our lives. And friends, that's why we're here. Okay? Again, from Hebrews chapter 12, a passage that says, bad habits must be dealt with. The writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. This is a passage to me that says, when there is something in our way, even though it might be difficult to release, even though it's been so ingrained and rutted in our life that we don't think we can live without it, we have got to throw it off. This is what it means to be a person who would label themselves with the label of Jesus Christ, Christian, because we want to be like Christ. We want our eyes and our attention to be on Him. Paul also talks about how we ought to clothe ourselves with righteousness. I believe Pastor Mike, who preached an excellent message last week, mentioned this passage out of Colossians 3 last week. That as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. These are the habits we're to form. That we are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, over all of these habits, put on love which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. These are the positive habits which we as believers are to not say, well, that'd be really nice if I could do that. No, these are the things we are to do. These are the habits we are to form. I want to look briefly at some righteous habits, okay? Some righteous habits. I did a quick word study in the Scriptures trying to discover some spiritually healthy habits and what they might look like. And in your bulletin insert, there's an insert there, that some place to jot some notes. I've actually listed a few of them there for you. I want to highlight just two or three here. The first one is praise. I think praise is a critical habit to form. And I ask myself this question, am I in the habit of praising God? Some of you might be asking, what is praise? What does that mean? In my simple mind, it's to lift up or to honor something or someone. So to praise God means we're putting Him in His place. We're lifting Him up. Psalm 64 says, all the people will proclaim the works of God. The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in Him. You know, throughout our day, we all have opportunities to praise God. We can look over the sky and we can find opportunities to praise God. We can look at a healthy life, a healthy body, a brand new baby boy, and we can praise God. We can find ways to praise Him all the time. But the question is, are we developing the habit to do so and to perceive what He is doing among us? Because the opposite of that is one that's going to be looking at all the crap of the world. And there's plenty of that to look at. We can be judgmental and say what everything is wrong, and some of you probably could be saying what they would do differently in this service already, all these different things. We can do that, or we can choose to look at all the goodness that God is presenting for us, all the goodness that He wants to give, and we can choose to praise Him in that way. The second righteous habit that I think is really important for us to consider is justice. This might seem a little bit strange, but this asks if you are the person who habitually will stand up for what is right, not what is easiest. And I think often in our culture, we look for the easy road. And we're too afraid to stand up for what we're principled to believe and what we're principled to know about. And so we, as people of God, I believe, need to be people of justice. Psalm 106, blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Isaiah, in the very first chapter, says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. We are to be the people who are looking to defend the people who can't defend themselves. So when you're walking the halls of your school, it's not about being in the right crowd and trying to ignore the wrong crowd. It's about also looking to defend those who are being beaten down by those crowds. We are to be people of justice. That is a habit that we need to form. Because if you're like me, too often we form the habit of whatever's easiest. The third, final, righteous habit that I want to just highlight today is prayer. My goodness, we could take an entire year and talk about the mysteries of prayer and not fully be able to understand it or articulate all of its stuff. But the question I really have in this understanding is, do you seek the Lord in prayer? Are you developing a habit within your life that says, no matter what comes my way, my first reaction will be to speak that to the Lord and to give that to Him? Too often, we develop the habit of getting back at somebody. Too often, we develop the habit of taking care of it ourselves. Too often, we take whatever, a different approach, instead of looking at this and saying, God, what are You doing with this? Too often, when we hear about a need, we'll post a Facebook comment and say, I'm praying for you, but do we really do it? I've been guilty of that. In the rush, I'm thinking, you know, pastor should say he's praying for that. I've got to, you know. We need to be people who are developing the habit, deeply rooted in who we are, to be people of prayer. And again, we could talk all day long, all year long, and I won't be able to teach you, and I won't even be able to understand all the mysteries of what prayer really is. But I will tell you this, it is a habit we need to form in our lives. Acts chapter 10 tells a story of a man who was named there. His name was Cornelius. He was a centurion, and he was known as the Italian regiment. He was not a Jew, but this is what it says about him. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. Now, all the odds are stacked against Cornelius as a non-Jewish individual, as a Gentile person. To be a God-fearing person would be fairly unusual. And yet God used Cornelius and the Apostle Peter to begin to break down the walls that were dividing Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles once and for all. Because he was a man and he led his family to be people of prayer. He made that his habit. And what came out of that is he gave to the poor. He was a person who was known for being generous because it started with he was a man of prayer. I want to be a Cornelius. I want to be a person whose steps are directed by God because I've spent time with him regularly in prayer. There are so many more that we don't have time to list them all today. But I know this to be true, that if you will join me and if you will read the scriptures, you will find everywhere there to be righteous habits that we can form in our lives that will help us in our spiritual journey. But I also want to say this as kind of a word of warning. When we ignore the formation of those good, righteous habits in our lives, what will happen in the void of those not being there is something very much less than what God intended for who we are. If we are aware of a spiritual, righteous habit that we ought to be forming, and we choose not to, the absence of that habit will be something less than what God has designed for us. Let me give you some examples. When we don't form the habit of generosity, greed will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of forgiveness, resentment will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of gratitude, arrogance will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of truthfulness, then exaggeration and deceit will fill that space. I'm still going. When we don't form the habit of being someone who's serving, entitlement and laziness will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of humility, then pride will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of self-control, indulgence will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of contentment, covetous thoughts will fill that space. When we don't form the habit of purity, lust will fill that space. And when we don't form the habit of discernment, of watching and listening to the will of God, then just plain stupidity will fill that space. That list started with three last night as I was finishing this up. And I just kept writing, like, holy smokes, every positive habit in our lives that we need to form has something against it, has something that will fill it if we don't take it seriously. And I don't want to be a person that's filled with greed, resentment, arrogance, deceitfulness, entitlement, pride, indulgence, covetous thoughts, lust, and stupidity. I got enough of that all my own. I need God to take care of that, man. And we need to be people who are forming these habits of generosity, forgiveness, gratitude, truthfulness, serving, humility, self-control, contentment, purity, discernment. The list could go on. I finally had to say enough, God. I got enough. I can't write anymore. When we choose to not take on that righteous habit that God is challenging us with, look out. Because in that void, something very negative could take place. Now, I do want to spend a few remaining moments looking at some bad habits. I want to look at three specific because I fear that they are just wrecking the church. When I say church up here, usually I'm meaning bigger than us. Okay? Here's the first one. The habit of conformity. When we form the habit of conforming to others and the latest and the greatest fads in our world, I believe that we are consistently moving away from the pattern of Christ and the pattern of focusing on Christ. When that is our consistent pattern of needing and wanting the latest things and conforming to the patterns and the styles of this world, my fear is that we are establishing that pattern, establishing that habit of just moving further and further away from what God's perfect plan was for us. Because God doesn't necessarily work within the confines of the world. Okay? Romans 12 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now the renewing of our mind is not simple. It is a God-given thing. It is difficult. but it is something that I believe God calls us to. It can happen over time as we spend time in prayer, or we join a small group, or we come to Wednesday Night Boost, or we spend fellowship with other sojourners on the path of Christ, okay? The renewing and the refreshing of our mind is something that God does miraculously when we put ourselves in those positions. But we are not to be people to conform to what this world looks like. Conformity can cause us to take a position because it's popular instead of it being morally right or just. Conformity can cause us to fill our schedule so full that there's no room for the church or Christ at all. Because that's how the world functions. Let's fill this schedule. I've got an empty hour. Conformity allows us to look like the world, talk like the world, be accepted by the world, but that's not what Jesus told us to do and to look like and to look for. He told us to live for the cross, which is like swimming upstream in a flooded river. It's difficult to do. Second habit I want to look at this morning that I think is dangerous for us is the habit of dependence. When we form the habit of depending on anything less than the grace of God, we've entered into a land, I think, of very, very thin ice. The old hymn came to my mind when this thought hit me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We talked about that solid rock and sang about that solid rock. The chorus says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My mind also went to an interaction that Jesus had with a certain unidentified ruler. It's recorded in Luke chapter 18. This ruler approached Jesus and asked the question, how might I achieve eternal life? How might I find eternal life? And so the conversation began to talk about obeying the law and doing this and that. And finally, Jesus proclaimed that the one thing he lacked was his dependence. That word isn't in the story, but it really is there. Because Jesus says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. That's the one thing you lack. You depend too much on your stuff. And I wish that story would end with that guy having a huge garage sale and people being blessed. But it doesn't. It ends with this unnamed rich ruler leaving sad, because he couldn't part ways with the stuff he was depending on. I don't want to depend on anything less than God. I want to trust on Him. I want Him to be my financial security. I want Him to be my hope for tomorrow. But I'm with you. I know that this can be tough. Real, real tough. The third and final habit that I want us to think about today that is one to stay away from is the habit of lust. Now, right away I want to say this isn't limited to sexual things. But I recognize that the second I said the word lust, he's like, he's going to talk about that. Lust is much broader than that in my definition. When you long for anything so bad that you're willing to hide the process of getting it, you've probably entered into the arena of lust. The very first sin was a sin of lust. When mankind chose to eat the fruit that they were told not to, they ate it because they wanted what they did not have. They wanted what they thought they could get. It was the knowledge that God had. It was lust. They lusted for power. The very first murder recorded in Scripture between Adam and Eve's sons, it is a murder of lust because one brother wanted what the other brother had. Lust is a broad, broad road. And many of us are traveling down it if we're not careful. 1 John 2, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. If I want to be a person of lust, I want to lust after the Spirit of God working in my heart and not the things of this world. And yet too often I find that we can be people who are lusting. Sometimes it is sexual and sometimes it is seemingly innocent at times. The doorway to lust is typically playful and fun and innocent, but the exit, it's not good. It gets you in, but the way out is filled with destruction. I believe this morning that more marriages are crushed due to the habit of lust, and not just sexual lust, but lust than any other reason. So here's the key question for today. The key question is, how can we find victory over these habits and that we recognize could be holding us back spiritually, quickly? We have 12-step programs for addicts. We have AA meetings for alcoholics, and they're wonderful. But what does the Christian need to form good habits and to break down these other bad habits that are holding us hostage? I want to encourage you to try one thing. It's not a 12-step program. It's a one-step program. I want you to remind yourself at every weak moment that you have that you are dead. Open up your bulletin if you got one today and take out a card that's in there. It says, "I am dead." That can sound really morbid and it can sound really strange. But this card is what I'm talking about to remind yourself that you are dead. Galatians 5 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me." That is a powerful truth. That when you recognize there's a weakness and a weak spot in your day or in your life that you have formed a bad habit, I want you to stick that card right there. Maybe it needs to go on your desk at work. Maybe you need to stick it to the monitor of your computer or a laptop. Maybe you need to stick it in the rearview mirror of your car or somewhere else in your car so you can see it. Wherever you have discovered that there is a habit you have formed that is creating a wedge between you and God, you need to be reminded, this is not me, because I am dead. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. They say that it takes 21 days to break a habit. And then it takes an additional 21 days to actually create a good habit. Have you heard that stat before? So for 42 days, we're going to need to be reminded every day, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's when we can break these bad habits. That's how we can then walk with victory. That's how we can develop righteous habits within us. Got a habit of cheating at school? Tape this bad boy right to the front of your binder. You got a habit of viewing inappropriate websites? I'm telling you, put it right on your computer, right there. You got a bad habit of saying some choice words? Then staple this bad boy right to your tongue. Problem solved. I guarantee that one. And you'll need Dr. Ostrander's number to solve the rest of the problems that come with it. You've got one in your bulletin. There are more at the Welcome Center. I'm going to have a stack with me at the door. You take as many of these as you need. You got friends that need these? Pass them out, right? I think I sent a PDF. They might be on our website too. You can download as many as you need. I want us to be people who aren't happy and satisfied with being in the rut of bad habits that are drawing wedges between us and God. I want us to be people who are recognizing that we're dead and that we now live for Christ. This is my aim. This is my goal. This is my focus. I think we can do this. I ask myself, what's the worst thing that can happen if we don't take this seriously? Well, the worst thing that can happen is that we fall into a pattern that's really not good. And that pattern over time can take us so far away that we can eventually just walk right out of the grace of God. I'm afraid that we can really put ourselves in jeopardy. But you know what could also happen? We could eliminate any evidence in our life that God is actually doing anything in us. God's work in us is not something that we can measure or always understand. It's often unexplainable. But when we allow these righteous habits to be formed in our lives, that's when I believe that the world around us can see something amazing. Because if we don't, if we just look like them and talk like them and all of that, then we're telling the world, God isn't big enough to change me. God is not strong enough to transform me. I'll keep going to church, I'll even give, but God can't transform me. That's what we're telling the world. Some of you may be familiar with the name of Brennan Manning. He was a Franciscan friar who died this weekend, as a matter of fact. He was an author of the best-selling book, Ragamuffin Gospel. He was controversial by some and painfully honest to others. And here's the quote that I think he might be most famous for, and it's powerful. It's going to be on the screen, and I want you to hear it. The greatest single cause of atheism in our world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny Him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.